RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
In March, we talked with John Duffy, Chief Executive of Consumer New Zealand, and we were talking about his concerns with the facial, and our concerns with the facial recognition technology currently being trialled in some foodstuffs supermarkets. Now, John has made a career of fighting for consumers, previously the Assistant Privacy Commissioner, Head of Trust and Safety at Trade Me, and worked as a senior investigator at the Commerce Commission. John, thanks for coming back.
No worries. Good to be here.
Okay, so just to set the scene, Woolworths, back in April, announced that move, re-cameras, and they're saying this, that physical assaults more than tripled in the last 6 years, they told RNZ this, from about 60 in the 2018 financial year to about 230 in 2024. Thefts also tripled from about 5,500 to 15,000 in that period. And there were eight times more security incidents in the same period, going up from about 100 to 780. And also that multinational sort of company tie-up partnership between New Zealand company Aurora, and they're into number plate recognition technology, and Axon, to integrate number plate recognition software with body cams for anti-crime surveillance in stores. And the New Zealand police are in with that because they can access any of that facial recognition or body cam stuff, even cell phone pictures, from this database, evidence.com. So, John, you were concerned back in March. Are you still concerned?
Well, there's a few things to unpack there. So there's some, I guess, as a starting point, let's talk about the tech. There's facial recognition technology in that's been deployed in foodstuff supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
We remain very, very concerned about that.
Okay.
There's body camera technology being deployed in Woolworths supermarkets, and we are less concerned about that. Then
right.
there is a database that you've talked to. I'm not hugely familiar with that, but that potentially the New Zealand police can access. I would expect that would be subject to a production order or warrant if they're accessing a database that is held by a private company. So we can talk about each of those three things separately. We've already kind of covered facial recognition last time, but the fundamental difference, I think, between what Foodstuffs is doing and what Woolworths is doing is Woolworths is actually being upfront about the reasons it's deploying the technology. So they're saying that there are harm incidents occurring in store and that shoplifting's occurring.
Yep.
And that having body cameras on staff members who are walking around could be a deterrent and also an aid to investigating those incidents should they become a police matter. I think that's actually legitimate.
Yeah.
There are separate issues around how, as a shopper, we understand that technology is being deployed. So is there signage up in store? Are there badges on staff members saying, hey, I'm wearing a body camera, be aware that your image is being recorded? With the foodstuffs deployment, they've said that it's to stop harm incidents in store. They've really downplayed the idea of this being a measure to stop leakage to their bottom line through shoplifting. Actually, we think that's the primary purpose.
Well, in the end, it probably is, right? I mean,
well, I think so. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing the millions they will be investing in it, because they'd not necessarily be the payoff for them. But they're dressing it up as a measure that's going to protect people in store. Actually, it's not. You know, in my view, if you're in a store with the intent of, you know, if you're in the frame of mind where you're going to be a security threat, the fact that there's facial recognition technology that might recognize the fact that you were in another store the other week and did the same thing is not going to deter you.
There to cause mayhem and whatever, right? Yeah.
That's right. So I think Woolworths, the technology that Woolworths is backing here is far more applicable to the use case that they're trying to solve than foodstuffs, which is really there to detect and prosecute shoplifting rather than protect people from harm incidents. That's my view anyway.
But that then can link to facial recognition, because presumably those body cams can have a facial recognition application run over it and identify people from those body cams.
Well, it could. Woolworths has publicly come out, and probably to position itself in opposition to its main competitor, has publicly come out and said it's not using facial recognition technology in its stores. Now, that doesn't mean it couldn't once it has a database of
footage. Well, I didn't mean the actual supermarket. I mean whoever handles the data can have applications work with that data after the fact of the supermarket.
Yeah, that's true. So let's use an example where the police issue a search warrant on Woolworths. They get a hold of that day's worth of supermarket body cam recordings. They potentially could run facial recognition technology over those images and link to, you know, a database of known offenders or something like that. Yes, yeah. That's absolutely right. But that's not Woolworths doing that. And Woolworths will always be subject to the production powers in the Crimes Act or the Misuse of Drugs Act or whatever the legislation is, and have to provide that information to the police.
And then there's also the ability to recognise number plates. You've got a lot of cars in that supermarket car park.
Yes, and look, number plate recognition technology is prevalent in many car parking buildings that you go into. In fact, it's designed to make your payment quicker, right? You just enter your license plate, it recognises the time you came through the barrier arm and charges you accordingly. So there are beneficial use cases for this as well.
Yeah, but they can all sort of mesh together. I guess that's the concern, isn't it? And law-abiding people still have all that data on them somewhere.
Correct, but there are rules that apply to it. So in the example we used previously, where the police need to go in front of a judge, get a search warrant before they can obtain information from, I think we used the Woolworths database as the example, there's a judicial check and balance on the use of that power. And, you know, in a democracy, we deem that to be adequate. Yep, you can theorise that there might be nefarious uses to which that could be put. I'm not aware of any instances. I'm sure there would be complaints to the, if it was the police, independent complaints, police complaints authority or the privacy commissioner or whoever, if those were detected.
Yeah, but it can go further up the line, just sort of riffing on this, you know, to security agencies. You know, they dip into data probably at will, and that information is still available. Do we need to see something that really it sits in concrete for everyone, so obvious that can assuage, you know, people of their concerns in this? Or do you think it's the current laws apply? Are you confident?
If you're asking whether there's something we can do to mitigate concerns around security agencies accessing data, well, the state provides them with interception warrant powers, for example.
Yeah.
To acquire information that may have completely innocent people's data in it. It may have people that they've identified potentially as a national security threat's data in it. We've, as a democracy, we've provided them those powers to keep the populace safe.
During COVID, John, people were monitored, they were cancelled, they were taken off social media, and a lot of them still don't know how that happened, you know? So it's happened.
Sure. You asked me a specific question around security agencies. So they are independently monitored. And I don't know the specific cases that you're talking about, but remember, when you're on social media, you are subject to the terms and conditions of a private company. And if you breach those terms and conditions, that private company can take you off with very little comeback available to you as an individual, right? They just say, nope, we're making a commercial decision and you're gone.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not necessarily...
Depends on who phones them up, though.
Which is true, but it's not necessarily the deep state that's ordering you to be removed. If you engage in, as an example, if you engage in conduct that breached their terms and conditions, they're within their rights to. And there'd be plenty of complaints the other way if someone was flagrantly violating, you know, the decency provisions of X's
terms
and conditions. There'd be complaints saying, why haven't you taken this person off because they're, I don't know, they're racially abusing people or something like that.
No, that's fair enough, but I'm not talking about that sort of stuff. I'm talking about sticking up for your bodily autonomy. Anyway, so whatever. I was a bit shocked to see those numbers on assaults and harm incidents and everything in quite a short time in supermarkets. Does that, what do you make of that?
Look, I'm concerned by it, and I, you know, look, Consumer NZ, we're not particularly nice to the supermarkets. We think there's some real problems in that sector, and they have been profiting at a time when people are really struggling. But that's not in any way throwing shade on the important work that frontline supermarket workers do. And what they did through COVID was phenomenal, right? They kept us fed. And I understand that people are frustrated with the cost of food and other things that you buy at supermarket, but there is no excuse for taking that out on supermarket shoppers or supermarket staff. It's not their fault. And so I was taken aback at the level of particularly violent incidents. But I guess, you know, it is tough for people out there, right? And sometimes that frustration boils over. It's not an excuse, not excusing it at all, but I can see that in tough times those numbers potentially go up.
It could be mitigated through just human intervention. I notice security guards are there already, and I guess it costs money to employ more people. But, you know, the old Mark version 1.0 eyeballs still pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what Woolworths has been doing. And my understanding is they've gone, we train staff on de-escalation techniques and that sort of thing, but still staff are being assaulted. And so we're deploying body cameras to record any incidents in that way. Should that become a police or court matter later on, there's an evidential record of what happened during the interaction. And, you know, that does actually, that rings true as a justification for deploying that technology. Different to then running facial recognition technology as more of a surveillance activity, you know, over a full day's activity. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But if you know you're going into an incident where someone's highly aggravated, you're approaching them as a security guard and saying, hey, you look like you're going to walk out with that leg of lamb. Put it back, please.
yeah, the old leg of lamb, eh?
Yeah. Being able to turn a body camera on and say, I'm recording this incident. You know, I've got audio and visual recording happening. Please comply with my instructions, and you're trespassed. I think there is a level of deterrent there that is the rationale is somewhat more justified than a mass surveillance technique such as facial recognition.
I note that Woolworths restricts access to a select security team, they say, and shares footage with police only upon request. You would hope that would be not just, hey, we want to see, you know, 1 to 2 p.m. at, you know, Cable Street, whatever branch. And, you know, can you give us the link? Well, you'd hope it wouldn't be that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to tease that out. So, yeah, you've got, let's say a security guard at a Woolworths supermarket is assaulted. They had body camera footage on. Woolworths is probably going to make a complaint to the police about that incident and say, we can provide body camera footage of what went on to support what we're alleging. I understand that use case. You might also have, let's use a missing person inquiry or something like that, where you know the last sighting of that person was in a Woolworths supermarket between 1 and 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. You might go to Woolworths with a search warrant and say, we would like all of your CCTV footage between this time frame and include any body cam footage that you might have, so that we can identify if that person was in store and you know what they were buying and all that kind of stuff to try and piece together what's happened. That again would be a reasonable, in my opinion, exercise of police information gathering powers. But you'd want that pursuant to a warrant, because you're quite right, you'd be hoovering up everyone else's images and potentially audio on body camera as well. So you'd want a judge to have had an eye on that and go, yep, that's okay, that's proportionate.
Any concern with this multinational sort of get-together, Aurora, which is a New Zealand company, and Axion, $35 billion US company, providing body cams to law enforcement. I think also tasers as well, because they, okay, New Zealand's one thing, and okay, number plate recognition is interesting, but the power of that partner could be huge.
Yeah, and this comes out in the facial recognition situation as well, where you have one or two providers of the technology. They're providing it to a specific New Zealand company, and in theory that data stays within the walled garden of that specific company, but actually it doesn't, because the technology has been provided to a back end, so that if that company is then providing that technology to multiple companies, then suddenly there's potentially the ability to aggregate all of that data together and track your movements from shop to shop, depending on who's working with that company. So it all comes down to what the agreements are between the end user of the technology, the company, like Woolworths in the example of body cameras, and the company that's supplying the technology, what that covers in terms of any subsequent data use. So the concern would be that a company says, hey, if you let us train facial recognition software on everything you record through this technology, we'll give you a cheaper rate for your body cameras.
Yeah,
that would be a real concern. And it is a broader concern that you have companies providing facial recognition technology that have just trained it on images openly available on the internet. Now, there's one school of thought that goes, well, if the image is up there, it's there for the world to see, so what's the big deal? But there's another school of thought that goes, those people didn't give their consent to artificial intelligence being trained on their image, and that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, the Axon Aurora integration involves Axon's evidence.com, where evidence is stored and transferred securely, apparently. New Zealand police already have use of evidence.com for storing various types of footage. So it's everyone sort of coming together into the same kind of digital place there.
Yes, you would hope that there are walls in place, virtual walls in place, that's still require a law enforcement agency to get a search warrant or a production order before they can access, yep, even though they're using the same technology. So, you know, just because my email program is run by Microsoft, it doesn't mean I can read your emails, right?
Let's say I'm a policeman and I'm suspicious that someone I know is visiting someone they shouldn't, you know, it's happened before. You can go in and have a look.
I see. You're talking about employee browsing.
Well, that's one potential weakness.
Yes, but what I'm saying is Woolworths' database with the supplier should not be accessible to police. They would have to come around the front door with a search warrant.
Gotcha.
They should be two completely separate entities.
Okay, so this is just the new normal then, is it, John? The new normal.
Well, again, I differentiate between the body cams and the facial recognition. I don't think the facial recognition is or should be the new normal. I think that this is an overreach by Foodstuffs. It is not justified on the business case that they've put out publicly, and it is why there is currently an ongoing inquiry by the Office of the Privacy Commissioner into what's going on. So the Office of the Privacy Commissioner does these, I think we covered this last time, but does these types of inquiries pretty rarely. So for them to elevate that to the inquiry status, they're obviously concerned. With the Woolworths use case, the body cameras, I actually think that there is potentially a beneficial outcome here in de-escalating events. I'd also add, the flip side of that could also be true, where you have someone who's, you might think, is in an agitated state. You approach them and suddenly say, hey, this is now being recorded in case it goes to the police, and that escalates the situation.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it could.
You'd need to combine the use of the technology with appropriate training of staff so that they're not putting fuel on the flames when they suspect something might be going on.
And what sort of coverage and monitoring will consumer be doing on this?
On the facial recognition technology?
Well, the whole bundle of it, really. This digital sort of, how would you describe it, sort of evidence gathering, because there still is the ability to facially recognize from any image, right? So body cameras are going all the time. I could be walking past one multiple times. I've got my image in there.
Sure, but similarly, there's CCTV operating in pretty much every retail outlet in New Zealand all the time. So the difference with body cameras is, my understanding is, they can record audio. The CCTV that's up on the wall above the checkout is just recording an image. The real value, I think, in deterring incidents is that you can hear the dialogue, or the real evidential value, if it does end up going to court later, is that you can hear what was said. You can work out whether the security guard provoked the person into acting the way they did, or whether the reverse was true.
Well, wait on. Liz Gunn laid a hand on the shoulder of a security guard in Auckland and got done for assault in full view of CCTV. Absolute madness. It was just a light touch. That was an assault. So this is what can happen.
Well, if you look at the legal definition of an assault, that is an assault, yes.
Yeah.
So your problem there is with the law.
If I said, John, you're about to tread on my toe, just move slightly. That's an assault. Come on. I know technically it can be, but for it to be given down as a verdict, guilty of assault, I'm just using that by way of an example that, you know, people have to think about this pretty clearly about, you know, if it goes rogue, it can go really rogue.
If what can go rogue?
Well, the capturing of images and, you know, the interpretation of what's going on in that image. It's very subjective sometimes.
Well, I mean, I imagine in order for there to be a conviction, that assault allegation would have had to be tested in court. And there are rules of evidence that are meant to take the subjectivity out of it. If there was some sort of miscarriage of justice there, that's a separate issue. But the legal system exists to take that subjectivity out of allegations like that.
Maybe you should start keeping an eye on the legal area as well, because, well, anyway, our listeners have thoughts on that. Nice to have you back, John.
Yeah, thank you for having me. A really interesting discussion. And you're right, it is something we should all be aware of and conscious of and watching.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.